Hi there. So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to try and stick to my script, otherwise I'll be going over time. So the language we use influences how we see ourselves and our position in the world. To challenge and reinvent society, it may be necessary to give ourselves new stories to live by. But what is it within our stories that has the power to influence how people think and how they live their lives? We're defined by the stories we tell. We can say the past is a foreign country, sort of looking at the past with nostalgia, rose-tinted glasses. So you can think of novelists such as Thomas Hardy, poets like William Wordsworth. And in landscape design, Capability Brown and Humphrey Repton, who shaped the grounds here at Corsham Court by adding a lake where there was none before, adding vistas with trees dotted around, and the ha-ha to have sheep coming up close to the court itself without actually invading the court. But much further back, nature was associated with the female, that either the nurturing mother nature or the chaotic spark of life. Then as nature became identified as a resource to be mined and shaped for our purposes, its status as a deity declined. In the early 60s, Rachel Carson's Silent Spring defetishized nature, landscape in all its forms, including the built environment. Her book incited environmental justice, advocating inclusivity. All life interprets its world through signs and codes. For instance, a plant may sense a change in daylight hours as a sign which it encodes as a prompt to initiate flower bud initiation and formation. Each individual life form perceives and experiences the world uniquely. This unique experience of the world is called Umwelt, German for environment. Our understanding of the environment, our world, and how we experience it is informed by how we process signs. Signs, therefore, are meaning-making. The relationship between environment and creative writing is one between two multimodal phenomena. Timo Maran distinguishes three types of relations involved. There's motivation. For instance, on seeing a tree, a writer may be inspired to write. This can work in the opposite direction also. On reading a text, the reader may respond in a particular way. For instance, the forests and woodlands in Grimm's fairy tales seem maybe dark and sinister, full of wolves and inhabited by witches. How the author describes the environment or an element of it, a tree or an environmental experience, the leaves being rustled by the wind, is representational. A writer may choose not to describe every detail of that tree, but rather convey meaning in context. In this instance, the reader must access their background knowledge of what a tree is in order to interpret the text. Maran describes this relationship as complementary. How the author chooses to represent an object influences its interpretation by the reader. I won't cover all the sort of high level, story level ideas there, but if I just take one for instance, in metaphor, which is a form of framing, and Leslie spoke about framing earlier, metaphors are particularly powerful as it uses specific frames. the metaphor of nature as a work of art provokes a different attitude and kind of nature management than the metaphor of nature as a machine or organism or network. At the syntactic level, so in terms of word arrangement on the page, an author can draw attention to words or phrases by use of foregrounding, such as repetition and alliteration. Leslie's already spoken about point of view. Defamiliarization disrupts and refreshes how we see things so that we have a new realism, a naive wonder. And then all speech and text is intertextual. It's made up of words and meanings from other texts. It can take the form of pastiche or parody, or fan fiction, or literary conventions. Intertextuality depends on the use of common cultural references. The reader goes through a series of processes to orient themselves to a new text, helping to make sense of the text, depending on their knowledge of the author and the book cover design. The reader may start by assuming it is fiction and that it is in a particular genre. Then they may take cues from the text to activate packets of knowledge. So to give you an example, in the True History of the Kelly Gang by Peter Carey, the author uses non-standard grammar and punctuation. From this, the reader may characterize the narrator as having a low level of education. Then he uses phrases such as, may I burn in hell and God willing, from which an assumption might be made that the character has a religious background. The notion of intertextuality isn't the preserve of the author, therefore, but equally, if not primarily, applies to the reader's response. As the reader reads the book, they may evaluate it, good or bad. They may discuss the book with others, such as in a book club, and recalibrate their opinion. The creation of a literary work doesn't stop when the author has handed the manuscript over to the publisher. The creative process involves author and reader. By understanding the function of the stories we tell and how the selection and arrangement of words impacts a reader's interpretation, it should be possible to transform the stories we live by. Thank you.